Nobody understands anybody in cursive.
Hello and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for June 24th, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast, coming live from Chicago, where apparently we will have no summer.
Well, it's warm today, just drizzly and
yeah, every time it gets above like 50, it has to rain. Just to punish us for nice weather. Anyway, so let's just dive right in. Janine has a place to go, people
okay,
to see.
Well, you were going to talk about, you did this the strip that you worried that people don't, you know, Carmen's worried that people don't understand her. And what was that about?
Well, what that was about, it's like no one understood my trying to get people to understand what they didn't understand strip. A few weeks prior to that, I'd done a strip about them going with the space alien to a parallel Earth and how even if things were the opposite, even if Hillary had won, it still would have been screwed up. It still would have been people clamoring for impeachment. You know, all the landscape, the political landscape is so toxic. My point was supposed to be that it could never, no matter what happens, no one will be happy. And that's what I was addressing with the, you know, no one understands. We don't understand each other. We don't listen to each other, that kind of thing. And apparently that was lost on people or not?
I guess so.
Well, you have
that's why you had
there.
To. Well, one of the comments actually that I did was really not even about that.
Of course.
It's one of the readers, Brain Pudding, interacted with another one called Bookworm, and they were trying. He said, "Let's do an experiment and see if we can find common ground on this subject."
But,
and the subject he brought up was the CEO and co-founder of Mozilla, Brandon Eich, was kind of like forced after a large Twitter protest and a boycott over $1,000 donation he made to California's Proposition 8, he ended up resigning from the position of CEO. And Brain Pudding thought that was completely wrong. So they bounced things back and forth, and they really didn't find common ground, I didn't think.
No.
But you might want to go to Go Comics and read the conversation and see what you think.
Yeah, I would love to hear what you think when you go there and add your comments as well. I've had conversations with friends on the left, particularly, and some on the right, whom I disagree with on certain issues, tariffs, things of that nature. And, you know, sometimes you don't find common ground. Sometimes you can go round and round and round, and it just doesn't happen. So, I mean, that's an okay outcome as well. But as long as you give it, you know, due process, as it were, or, you know, you just give it an honest try, then I think you can go forward. That's when you try to convince more people, so you have votes. It's democracy, and they vote more for in your favor than someone else's. But, you know, like I said, not coming to a conclusion, not coming to a consensus is okay.
Right. At least they talked,
happen.
And it was a nice conversation.
Okay, cool.
Like. Nobody was calling each other names. So, anyway, also, you were talking about whether you should impeach. You had Carmen ask Winslow that.
Yes, and impeachment is, you know, we're getting close to the election, and I think the Democrats are really faced with the challenge of defeating Trump in the polls now. I mean, I think they should put it aside. I'm not a Democrat, so I mean, it's easy for me to say, you know what they ought to do. But my point is that, you know, from a practical political standpoint, if you start the process now, then the election becomes a referendum on impeachment.
Well,
and they don't want to do that. I think they want a referendum on Trump.
Yes, Spirit Interface said, "Oh, please do. Nothing would guarantee President Trump's reelection like a good Democrat circus."
I agree with that. And it does get to be a circus for those of us of a certain age who went through not just the Clinton impeachment, but the Nixon impeachment. Everything stops. Everything stops. And if you look at the economies during that time, if you look at foreign policy, everything stops. And it's just not good for the country. Assuming, you know, if Trump does get reelected, then I think they have a basis to go forward and look into these things. I don't, you know. But
now just concentrate on beating him.
Yeah.
Then if he did anything that needs to be convicted on, then work
right.
on that.
Retain the House, try to win the Senate. If you do that, then, you know, you're going to be in a much better position. But that's how you win elections. And that's what this smacks of, is trying to overturn the outcome of an election. And that I think that's a big deal and a very important deal. And the founding fathers put mechanisms for impeachment, but they made it difficult for a reason. And so, you know, I think Nancy Pelosi's right. I don't know how often I say that. Not often. What's next?
Well,
You want to talk about cursive? Because that's the one that got the most attention.
That did get a lot of attention.
Which is weird. Here's the thing. I'm still getting stuff from, I mean, I'll let you read some of the comments, but I'm getting from a lot of people. It's just from all over. And it's crazy. All I did, but I mentioned in the Sunday Prickly City that they should teach. Like Carmen gives Winslow a note and it's handwritten. He can't read it. There's another, you're going to read a comment, but this, I just want to kind of shore up my case. Here at the Chicago, when I worked at the, when I'm still working at the Chicago Tribune, someone had left a note for one of our interns saying you need to do X, Y, and Z, and they did it in handwriting. The intern, who's smart, was going to college, and another intern could not decipher what this note said.
Right, and on Facebook, Clark commented that his grandchild got a handwritten note from his great-grandmother and could not read it.
Right, and he's 12. So there's something, you know, that's a way of communication. Is it archaic? I don't think so. And here's the second part of this, and this may be unimportant to most people, but if you're looking through historic documents, they're handwritten. You have to be able to read it. And things like we had a note, handwritten note from Abraham Lincoln to the Chicago Tribune renewing his subscription. It's awesome. The kids in that office could not read it.
Well, Christopher Shea says, I'm going to pronounce this wrong because today I can't seem to talk. As an archivist, yeah, who oversees boxes and boxes of letters written in cursive, it is disappointing that students sometimes have difficulty deciphering them. But at the same time, I have to admit it's about as relevant to modern life as being able to write cuneiform or German black letter. The only time I ever use cursive is when I have to sign my name. And it's always fun when the strip puts the opinion of an old white man in the mouth of a little Latina girl.
Yeah, but she represents me. I mean, that's the whole point. So, you know, what can I tell you?
And Timbop 2313 says, I started printing all my letters home from Vietnam when I was 18, as my parents sent a letter of mine back saying they simply could not figure out what I wrote. I could not figure it out either, so bought a small typewriter, which still works 48 years later. One of my grandkids has it. Well, and I think that's the difference. I think you don't need to teach people to write cursive, and you don't need to use that. I stopped doing that as soon as I was able to, because I couldn't read my own writing, and I thought it was too hard. I just kind of couldn't stop going, you know, kind of. So I printed everything. And I think maybe you could teach them to read cursive without actually having to learn to write it.
Okay, I think once you learn to read it, you can probably write it. I get the other side. I get the fact that you're not going to write handwritten notes anymore. You're going to text. You're going to. And someone suggested and take the time we took to teach cursive and teach people to touch type.
Oh, yeah.
Which I can't do. I tried a million times and I still can't do it. So I wish I had learned
that. Did they teach that in school? Keyboarding?
Some of us didn't have to.
Well, I mean, now I think they do that.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I have no idea. I don't go to school now.
True.
And we have kids who are in their 30s and they're not going to school, so.
Okay.
No, we got into this debate, kind of a peripheral, but a similar debate with my, not debate, but a discussion with my daughter-in-law, who is a doctor, and I talked about reading books. And she said, you don't need to read books. You can read things electronically. I go, that's true, but there's something about a tactile experience of reading books that I think is essential. And in fact, studies have confirmed what I felt, which is reading a book, you have much better comprehension, much better retention than you do if you read it digitally.
Huh, I wonder why.
I don't know. I think it is a tactile.
Sometimes we have to involve more than one of our senses to
perhaps
have something lock in.
And so that's my take. And I'm a grumpy old man, and I got called that a lot because of that strip.
Own it, baby.
I own and I embrace my inner curmudgeon. So there, take that and stay off my damn lawn, you kids. Any other comments you think we need to get to today?
Nope.
Okay, thank you, Janine Fadich.
You're welcome, Scott Stantis.
And thank you, Brian Altimer, for being our producer and all-around good guy. Thank you, WGN and WGN Plus, for letting us use the equipment and hosting. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, please do so by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. That's gocomics.com/prickly city. Sign up for free stuff. Leave a comment. Maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. And if you want to get a hold of us directly, again, please do so. Send us an email at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.